This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score!
Tonight, number 21,
Oh, spectacular, Braden Holtby.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, speaking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. We're still hunkered down. It's another week of COVID-19 quarantine. And with me again, as always, to share that, though not in the same location, live herself from Centerville, Virginia, is the one and only mermaid, Anna Knox.
Yeah, we would probably kill each other if we were quarantined together.
I think we would, unfortunately. I hate to say.
I know, but you know, it is what it is. So I feel like we're like, on like day 8,052 of quarantine. Sometimes it feels like, I cannot believe it's almost May. I will just preface that I'm like looking at my calendar and setting up, you know, parent meetings and stuff. I was like, oh yeah, I'll talk to you in, you know, 2 weeks. They're like, it's next week. Oh. Of course it is. So yeah, that's it. So we're going for the three times the charm in Fairfax County tomorrow to go ahead and give this Blackboard Collaborate Ultra BBCU for those cool people out there another opportunity tomorrow morning.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. You guys had to pull the plug on that.
Yeah. Like last Monday, you know, saw the students, we're trying to get through left. Everything was fine. We didn't have like the porn issues, luckily, and all that kind of, we just had 189,000 students and staff and whatever trying to log into this site almost all at the same time. And it's like, it's just not ready. So I'm like, well, if the first time it didn't work, and the second time it didn't work, are we really going for a third? But benefit of the doubt, I'm going to give it to them because there's other loopholes with Google Chat, all this stuff. So we'll see. But I have a feeling tomorrow, like if there is any kind of fuck up or any kind of like delay or shutdown or whatever, like this will be it. We will just stop the virtual teaching and we'll just have to give everything, post all assignments and videos and whatever on Google Classroom and just not be able to interact with our students like virtually.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, it's like, it's just very frustrating. So like, I let my kids last week just, you know, talk my ear off for an hour. Like one of them has a new puppy. So I got to see that puppy like really up close. And another one was like kind of being shy, but then talking to his sister and completely forgetting that I'm still in a conversation with him. You know, it's just all this kind of stuff. But, you know, it's like if it doesn't work, we have to, the teachers are, we're doing the best that we can. We're supplying a ton of resources and assignments and reaching out to the students. It's just not the same. And I get that parents are frustrated, but there is really truly nothing we can do. You know, it's like I can't come over and tutor your kid. I can't come, you know, I can't have a small group. There isn't anything we can do. So sometimes I'm like, you just have to, you know, accept what it is and just be like, okay, we're doing the best that we can. But yeah, there's a ton of people out there like, I'm gonna start a lawsuit. I'm so over the lawsuit. And like the same people who want to sue the teachers for not doing their jobs are the same people that are going to listen. Well, no, I won't get in. We're not in politics. We're not going to talk political stuff. But yeah, so that is very disappointing. That kind of, you know, people asking, you know, what do teachers do? We're getting paid and we're not doing anything. We're just, you know, sitting at home or we're going on hikes. I'm like, I can't, really? I don't know about you, but I'm not doing that because I have to log into these meetings and do training and do security training and do, you know, compliance training and all this other stuff. And then I have to meet with my team and then I have to meet with the Fed department, you know, so it's like, I'm really not.
Don't remind me. Because we have to go, we have to go through similar stuff at work every year. It's not really certification, but just stupid corporate stuff to say, well, remember you're subject to these rules and regulations, blah, blah, blah. Right. Like, yeah, I am. Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. All of us, like, we were in a, we'll just call it a training. I don't even know what else to call it. And my coworker and I were texting and she's like, I'm legit looking on a split screen for presents for my daughter. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That's good. I'm like, cause I'm emptying my dishwasher. I was like, that's where I'm at. Whereas like, it's playing in the background. I'm so like we're just done. Like, just let us do what we need to do. And, you know, we have all these, you know, ridiculous things going on. But speaking of which, I don't know why I didn't think about you when this is going on last week. We had one of those meetings where people were trying to come on and they're on the screen, they're talking and their microphone's not on. And then it's like, then it's the other end. It's like, I can hear you, I can't see you. And you're showing documents, but you're not sharing your screen and all this stuff. I was like, I cannot handle this. And so my friend sent me this video on YouTube about what it would be like to have a live phone conference. So I'll have to send it to you. And I may even put it on our website because I think there's like 95% of the people can totally relate to that exact situation of people, you know, talking, the microphones are off, or they don't use their microphones, so you can hear the dog barking and everything else.
It's called a mute button.
Yeah. And all of us are, and then of course there's like the texting on the side. We're like, hey, Gail, could you turn your mic off? Like, hey, you know, Anna, could you turn your mic on if you're going to be talking? Because we can see you talking, but we can't hear you. And so like, we have all those moments of, you know, just like shaking our heads, like, you know, technology and what people are doing. So yeah, I'll send it. And I'll post it on the PowerPlay page because, oh my God, I so needed that because I'm like sitting in this meeting and it's, you know, so it's just so annoying where it's like something could have been done in like 5 or 10 minutes and here we are like 55 minutes later. My ass is numb from sitting on a dining room chair. You know, the kids are asking me questions and I'm just like, you know what? Usually I'm like, I'm on a call, but this time I was like, go ahead, ask me anything. Go ahead. What do you guys need? Do you want me to make you something? I've got time because I'm not even listening to this. So that's where I'm at. But, you know, still grateful that got food, got a place to live, you know, family.
Yeah.
A ton.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, I just finished today. And I don't know if you were ever a fan of the Beastie Boys. I'm a diehard fan.
I remember them. I won't say I was a diehard fan. I'm familiar. I don't hate them. I'm familiar with their work. I enjoyed some of it. I won't say I was a huge fan or a diehard fan, but yeah, I'm familiar with them.
Okay. So I grew up, you know, I think we've talked about this before. I have a biological brother. And then there are four boys next door who I consider my brothers growing up. So it was like having five brothers. So I went through all the Ozzy Osbourne Black Sabbath stage with these guys. But God, when the Beastie Boys came out and Licensed to Ill, it was like, I'm looking at it now thinking like I'm like my daughter's age when this stuff came out. But anyway, so they did on Apple TV a documentary, I think it's like the Beastie Boys story. Oh, for those of you out there who truly appreciate how brilliant those the three of them, well, there's only two now, but are, is, watch it. Highly recommended. Highly recommended. It was so good. It's just so good to hear like how people get to where they're, you know, whatever. But you have to appreciate their music. And I was a ridiculous diehard fan from elementary school, middle school, high school, college. I've seen them, I don't know, God, 5 or 6 times. Yeah. I'm one of those B-girl fans.
All right. Fair
but anyways.
Enough.
It is.
Understandable. And yeah, like I said, I'm familiar with them. Child of the 80s here too. So
but
yeah.
This is why we couldn't be quarantined together. No, because I play music all the time.
We would, and we would drive
you
each
would
other
bust out with, you would bust out with some group that I'm like, I fucking hate them. And yeah, like I'm trying to think of who it is that you like that I just hate. But I'm sure
I can come up with something. Speaking of which, I'm sure all of you out there listening can relate, played some form of this game or these games. There's that one game where somebody says, okay, I'm thinking of the letter W, name a band that starts with a letter W, not a song, but a band. And then,
right. I've seen this like all over Facebook.
Yeah. Recently. Somebody chimes in with a band and then they get another letter. And then,
okay.
I thought the object of the game was to just keep on guessing bands with different letters. Stupid me didn't figure out, because I apparently I've been pissing a lot of people off when I play. But what I've been doing is guessing other bands with these different letters. And like no,
how did you how did you screw that up?
You're supposed to post your own game with the new letter. And I apparently didn't figure that out until like I did this to like 6 or 7 people. I'm like,
okay.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, I don't usually do these things.
That's why they're not answering me anymore.
Yeah.
And then there's,
I don't do these things because of the one where somebody was like, give yourself a point for everything you've done. Oh, and there's that, like,
yeah, that's
20 things. And I think I scored like a 17. I was like, yeah.
And then there's the worst one of all. Some of these are really good, but some of them are just annoying and people are easily, it's easy that people are to see that people are starting to run out of ideas for these.
Right.
The whole, you can only pick one. You can only pick three. You can only pick two. You can only pick your nose, you know?
Right. Yeah. I don't usually partake in those, you know, because it used to be before that came out, you would have the questions where it's like, if you were to be one animal, what would you be? You know, and like you type your name in and it tells you, and then like, what kind of pasta would you be? What kind of soda? And I'm just like, why am I wasting my time with this?
That's the point. You're trying to waste time.
It is, which is like, I'm surprised I didn't partake more in this stuff, but it's like, it was coming up on everyone's feed. I'm like, no, I just don't, you know, don't give me a letter. I don't want to play.
Yeah. So, okay.
Whatever.
So before we get to your other teaching assignment, yeah. I just want to make a quick little shout out. Thank you announcement. Of course, last week I posted a picture of myself with a handcrafted Capitals theme COVID-19 mask by my lovely and talented wife, Mrs. Blue Liner. And lo and behold, there were several of people who said, oh, where can I get one? And I would just like to take this opportunity to thank those dozen or so people that responded in kind. We have the first batch. Unfortunately, supplies are a bit of in a snafu right now. So we've taken care of the first batch. I want to say the second batch should be taken care of end of next weekend or so. But I just want to thank everybody who expressed interest in those. Yeah. And thank you all for responding so positively, and the rest of you for your patience. Those who haven't gotten your notice yet, thank you very much. We'll get you taken care of as quickly as we can. Like I said, shouldn't be any much longer than say end of next weekend when the last batch is sent out, and we'll leave it at that for right now.
No, that's fantastic. Well, what kicked off me asking if mine was in the mail was I decided to do my big shop of the week kind of thing, and I went on Friday, and I'm standing next to this gentleman, 6 feet apart, and he turns around, and his mask is all Baltimore Ravens stuff, you know, kind of. I was like, God, that is so cool. Well, it's not cool because I hate the Ravens, but I'm like, look at him. He's got this like personalized thing on. I, however, have a packet from Ian doing signs for a dentist office. So I have one of those masks, one of the blue one that needs your teeth cleaned. And I'm walking around with that, but I wasn't sweating like I was in the one the week prior. But I will say, so that's what made me think about how awesome Jenny did with your mask. And I was like, I can't wait to walk around with a cap.
Oh, yeah.
COVID-19. Representing mask on my face when I go to ABC or
well, my grand plan, I don't know, and those of you listening don't get any ideas, don't, you know, read too much into this, but my hope, my grand plan would be to somehow put the podcast logo on a bunch of fabric and make the masks out of that.
Okay.
That'd be nice. Nice way to
get
the word out.
That would be amazing.
But right now it's just a pipe dream. Cause like I said, supplies are kind of snafu-y right now, and it's touch and go with those.
Yeah.
But like I said, everybody who expressed interest and has responded to either myself or my wife, you will all be taken care of. And right now we're ending with that, and we're, you know, so we can't really promise anything beyond that. So we're in a holding pattern right now, but if and when there's more information, it will be posted. But otherwise we're going to have to stop right there. Cause like I said, supplies are kind of in a holding pattern given the situation that we're in now.
So no worries.
Anybody that was curious, that's where we're at. All right. So, at the end of last week's episode, I gave you, dear teacher, an assignment.
Yes,
and you did indicate to me that you are ready with your report. You've got your grade book handy. So, let's just go ahead and get right into it. Who do you want to start with?
Carlson.
John Carlson. Okay. So, all right. So just to provide a little intro, because I think it deserves it, John Carlson has had he started like gangbusters. A lot of people were talking about him for the Norris. And then in the last few weeks before the pause, he kind of tailed off, and that's where he is now. So what are your notes on him?
Well, for that exact reason, I have given him a solid B. And because he came out so strong and everyone was like that, you know, whatever, but I saw a bit of, I'm not even going to say, like, he wasn't putting effort into it. It just seemed those last couple of weeks, we weren't seeing the 100% from him that we had seen previously. And I think with a lot of these guys who I might have given the solid B to, it's because of frustration with the lines and whatever was going on, that little dark cloud over the Caps locker room, he kind of fell into that. So 15 goals, 60 assists, and 75 points. I think a solid B+ is totally okay.
Okay. So which is it, B or B+, would you say so far?
I'll go with B.
Okay. All right. So just kind of adding some additional notes to that. His total stats, as you said, 15 goals, 60 assists, which is amongst the lead leaders. Of course, that gives him 75 points, which is also tops on the team. Plus 12 for the season so far.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tied for fourth on the team. The most interesting stat about him, though, is that he, if I can get to it here, he actually is tied for the team lead with 6 game-winning goals. And when I said, when we all heard about his big contract, what did I say? I said, please shoot more to earn that contract.
Right.
And that's beginning to pay off. But you're right. He is starting to, he was tailing off, and that probably was partially at least due to the fact that the line combinations for the D were kind of thrown into disarray a little bit because they were trying to figure out what to do with Brendan Dillon and all that. But also that he just wasn't at his top form. And yeah, I'm going to agree with you. If anything, I might've made it a B minus, but yeah, I think a solid B is right about where he is.
Okay.
Okay. Next up.
Ovechkin.
Okay. So the captain.
I'm going to go with the captain, and I don't know if I've ever given an A+, but I feel like I just have to.
Really?
This is an individual and an athlete and a player that is just to be admired and respected. And he has not stopped, and he has only matured in how he's leading the team, but also just, I don't know, just as a hockey player in general, like there's just something so fantastic about Alex Ovechkin. And so to have an opportunity to see, you know, 700 goals and to see 700 overall, obviously, 48 goals a season. And he just doesn't stop. And I think that there's just so much respect for him that he is actually my only A+.
Okay. So you're basing that mainly on the fact that he's obviously leading the team, but amongst the league leaders in goals, and
right.
and what else?
I just think that, like, he's just shown, okay, let's go back a couple of years ago. And when you and I first started this, or we started to talk about hockey, whatever else, everybody's opinion, it seemed, on social media was that he was all about himself, that he never, it was just all about him. Like, he never passed. He never, you know, this, that, whatever. And people started to see him kind of as a selfish player. And then other people were like, oh, he had a crappy season, so we should get rid of him. And I was like, you know, come on out. So now you see him in 2018 and the emotions and the everything that was just like the parties afterwards and everything else, how much the Stanley Cup meant to him. And it didn't stop in 2018. He has continued to up his game, you know, just be a leader and mature into this role for the vets and the new players, the younger players. So I just think, you know, his overall package, let's just put it that way, and I don't mean overall package in the other way, although it could be an A+, I don't know. I just admire him, the whole package.
Okay, so basically, not only the goal scoring, but also his continued maturity and leadership qualities that he's bringing to the team, basically. Okay. I don't know that I would have given him an A+. To me, an A+ would be if he was over 50 already as far as goals, and maybe threw in more assists and was somewhat better on the plus minus. Unfortunately, he's just about the worst on the team at a minus 12. Yes, I get that we don't pay him to play defense,
Right.
But you know, that's fine. He does have 3 game winning goals. He is I will give him a solid A for sure, because at 34, for him to be cranking out the minutes, the numbers, the effort that he's doing, yes, for sure. He definitely deserves that much at least. But he is, I will agree to an extent that he is still carrying the team some nights, but this team has gone through some turmoil, some changes, some challenges. And I mean, I have put a lot on the coaching staff, but the captain kind of has to help shepherd the team through some of that. And I'm not saying he hasn't, but you know, Go ahead.
I was going to say, I absolutely think that he has, because I think that, you know, people, listeners, fans, whomever wanted to really see Todd Reirden or whomever, like, just, you know, lose their shit in the locker room and whatever. And I always thought, I can understand that. Like, I can understand wanting to be motivated by a coach. Reprimanded by a coach, you're just like, okay, yeah, he's disappointed, and that's a terrible feeling. It is your teammates, your brothers, your sisters, however you want to refer to them, that are the ones that are going to have the biggest impact on you, on how you are going to step up to the plate. You better believe if an Alex Ovechkin comes into the locker room and rips you a new one, you're going to feel that.
Yeah,
not literally, but you know,
that's what I'm saying.
I also think he does the other. I think he also is one of the first people to praise any of the players. Like, he's not making it about himself.
Right. No, he's not. And he still has the enthusiasm. He's still happy when someone else scores. Now, yeah. You're right. It's not all about him. And maybe, you know, maybe behind the scenes, that's more where he gets in somebody's face or sits somebody down. So you don't see, maybe you don't see that part of it, but I'm just saying, I have to throw into question a little bit his effect on that, because, you know, he does shoulder that. And I think he is a guy that they would listen to. And I would have thought that by now, well, when I say by now, around the time, you know, everything paused, that they would have kind of worked their way out of that kind of 500 hockey they were in. I don't think they're quite there yet, or that they weren't, at mm-hmm. least at that time. So
right.
that plus his, you know, kind of backslide in his commitment to defense versus the 2018 playoffs is what maybe makes the difference between giving him an A plus and just leaving him with a solid A. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But your word counts more than mine, since you're doing the actual grading this time. So we'll leave it at that. Okay. So all right. Next up,
let's go with Backstrom.
Nick Backstrom. Okay, go ahead.
I had a hard time with this one, because part of me is playing that. How can you not absolutely love and admire this player? Everything about him is fantastic and admirable and amazing. But this season, if I have to look at the statistics,
right,
I gave him a B-.
Okay.
And that was hard. And okay. I gave it to him. Okay. Well, I gave it to him because 12 goals. I feel like mm-hmm. we've seen more. But then he had 42 assists and he had 54 points. So it's not like he was not slacking off at all. I just don't think that this was a season where, like, when we talked about Carlson before, he came out gangbusters in the beginning and then kind of teetered off a little bit. And so it was like, okay, well, he's not playing at 100% now, Carlson. Backstrom, we just haven't seen Nicky at 100%. And I don't know if it's like that hidden injury, if there's something else going on, you know, he's just preoccupied, whatever it was, but I didn't feel like we've seen him at 100% consistently this season.
Yeah, no, I'm going to take it even lower. I'm going to give him a C plus because, like you said, he seems to me to be a step slow. That whole line is a minus, but I'm not going to hold that against him. But you're right; there just does seem to be something a bit off about him. I don't know. We discussed this before. It might have been the contract negotiation. It might have been the injury.
Well, he just had a third baby.
With that
so,
too,
who knows where his thought process was?
Yeah, a lot going on with him. So he seems distracted in a lot of different ways, a lot of different reasons, and it just I don't know. I don't want to say it's lack of effort, but it just didn't feel like we were getting his 100%. So I'm going to say because of that mainly. C plus for this year. So,
okay.
Yep. All right. Next up,
number 13,
Jacob Vrana.
I'm given a solid A. Nothing but impressed and just, I don't even know what to say. So much respect, so much appreciation for his skill, and just happy for this kid on how far he continues to go, like just, you know, up the ladder. Like I feel like his stats are getting better each year, which is awesome. But he's in the right headspace. He's so quick. It's awesome to watch. And so I think he has a solid A in my opinion. I don't have anything negative to say about him. You and I spoke before that he's played all 69 games. I think that he has shown the determination when on ice and say if he misses a goal, misses a shot, whatever it is, you see it on his face and then it changes to 100% determination that he is going to get that goal. No one is going to hold him back. And that is what I love and respect about Jacob Vrana.
I will agree for the most part. I will give him an A minus. I would have liked his goal total to be a little bit higher. I guess I'm just a little bit more demanding with an offensive based team like the Caps. I would have liked to have seen him hit 30 for the year already, but no, he's like you said, he's pretty much on track as far as potential. And the great thing about him is probably that he probably hasn't hit his 100% potential just yet. And 69 games, like you said, that's a bit of a surprise to me because you look at him, he's obviously fit, but he's a little on the small side. So you think, how's he going to stand up to the pounding? But he does, obviously.
He does.
And, yeah. You know, I'm going to be a little bit bold here, even though I, you know, knocked him down a bit. As far as the grade, he does remind me a little bit of a young Peter Bondra. So, if that's his limit, if that's his upper limit, then we're going to see a 40 or 50 goal season out of this kid eventually. So, yeah, solid A minus for him. So, more or less in agreement. Okay, so who's next?
Kuzi.
Okay,
and this
go
is
ahead.
Another one. I will say, like the Backstrom, I kind of went back and forth between wanting to do like a B minus, a B, C plus. I wound up calling it an even B because of how he started off with the suspension and all the drama that went along with that. Back in August and September, and like how was this all going to play out and who was going to be talking shit on the ice and how was this going to get into his headspace? And I will say, you know, for what he went through and, you know, being guilty and having to admit that and kind of walk a shame, you know, into the locker room with all of his brothers, I don't think he's had a terrible season. I think that there have been sometimes he's very up and down. I feel like there are times that fans watch him and we're like, holy shit, there he is, you know, koozie and Sally dance, and he is like fantastic, and that's exactly what we needed. And then there's other times that I think I've looked on social media and it's like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, who is he passing to, or why isn't he shooting? He's the one that it's like, just shoot the damn puck. So I think I'm okay with a B minus, because I felt like he started off rough. He proved himself. It just hasn't been consistent, but I have been happy with the games up until this COVID-19 thing happened.
Okay. I'm going to slightly disagree. My overall grade for him, and before I get to that, I'm going to preface this by saying the one thing I do agree with is, yes, for the most part, he has carried himself very well, despite, in spite of the fact that he disgraced himself with the mm-hmm. with the suspension and what happened and all that. We don't need to rehash that, but mm-hmm. we were wondering how he would carry himself. And for the most part, he's laid low, which is probably the best he could do under the circumstances. But when you talk about the on ice product, I don't think he's delivered. And in fact, a harder look at the numbers say, if you want to be really harsh, he's played his way off of both the number one and the number two power play units, because about 80% of his points have been 5-on-5. So he's solid 5-on-5, solid contributor, belongs on the second line still, but he's just not getting it done on the power play. And I think it's hurt him this year, because I would think with the extra room, that would have been where he's thrived, but only 6 goals, only 6 assists. Yeah, not good. You expect more out of a guy with that kind of talent. And I don't want to say he's taking
a
step
back.
Wait,
how do you have 6 goals?
6 goals and 6 assists on the power play.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was looking at something different, and he's got 19 goals.
Right. In total, he's got 19 goals and 33 assists, but only 6 and 6 on the power play. And like I said,
correct.
You guy like that who has the extra room, you expect him to deliver, and he just hasn't. And unfortunately, I think some time off both of the power play units might do him some good. And that right now, I think that's where we're at with him. Maybe a little less playing time, maybe time for him get back into the game a bit. I don't know, but he just has not
don't
been.
You feel like he's one of those players that, like, when he is in the zone, damn. Watch out.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
He's fantastic. Again, not, Backstrom not seeing it on a different level. Koozie, he's inconsistent. And I think that's what I find very frustrating with him, especially with someone who has so much talent.
Yeah, and he's taken too many nights off this year, and it shows, it's too obvious. And yeah, it's mm-hmm. why I'm not willing to give him any higher than a C+. But if he can turn that around, like you said, yeah. I mean, all you got to do is look at the numbers from the 2018 playoffs. When he's on, that's it. It game over. So
right.
All right. Next up,
PJ Oshie.
Ah, my number six.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And honestly, another solid A. I don't see how. You can, not just you, Gil, but how anybody could debate how fantastic this player is thinking of him, not just as his position and his, how long he's played and everything. That aside, the fact that he had such that injury, I don't even know horrific. And was able to come back stronger and still be, smiling with his teammates, happy for his teammates, celebrating, and then playing. I feel like we're seeing, 100%. I'm not going to say every night, because I don't know if any player can possibly give 100% every night, but I definitely see his effort, his skill, his willingness, his determination. Is just, again, to be admired. So he is one solid A from me.
And I think I will completely agree and also give him an A. He is certainly representative of the fun culture, both on and off the ice. that this team has become known for, and very consistent with the results. 26 goals so far, 23 assists, leads the team in shot percentage with 19.5. So still consistent there. So if we're talking this year, yes, I would say he is one of, if not the most valuable player on the team. So yes, for sure, solid A for my book from him.
Okay.
All right, next up.
That was kind of scary. Tommy.
Ah, top line Tom.
Top line Tom. What can I say? I, again, admire his skill, his determination, and the fact that he has matured as a player, and no one can take that away from him because he has been fantastic in, you know, just being targeted from Pens fans, from Carolina fans, from Vegas fans, whatever. You know, they all want to get him. They all just want to see a suspension, see this, taunt him, whatever else. Has he had his moments in the penalty box? Of course. Is that my one little negative with him? Yes. But is it compared to the, you know, previous cup years? I just think that overall we have seen a mature and strong and I don't even know, you know, it's Tommy. I love the guy. But I'm proud of him. I do think that he's kind of fallen into a leadership role. I think I think it's for him, the big thing is maturity. And he has definitely shown that he is taking this sport, 100%. He's taking it seriously. And he's not just out there just to be, you know, pain train, drop the gloves, you know, do this, do that. Like, he's out there because he's a damn good hockey player, and he should be. But I do have him. I won't say he's a solid A. I'm giving him an A-. I know. Only because of the penalty minutes. They could have been a little bit. There were a couple of games that I was really, really frustrated with him and being like, "Don't do it, don't do it." But I still give him a solid A-. And my only negative is just the penalty minutes, because everything else I think he's improved on.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Now, okay, don't hate me for this, but I didn't quite grade him as high. I do think he's rounded into a solid player.
I'm hanging up.
I gave him a B+. It's a borderline A, but it's definitely a solid B+, and I'll tell you why. I'll get to the rest of his good stuff, but he's on the first line, respect most of the season, on the first line, which means he gets his opportunities, and he's having a career year. He's had career highs, goals, assists, and points, of course. I want to see more, because his skill set is very underrated. He has a very good wrist shot, and I just don't know if he doesn't get the opportunity to use it, or if he just doesn't use it. He relies on his physical play to create room for his line mates a little too much. But I think
I feel like last season and the season before, you said the same thing, that you wanted to see him burn of the net doing what he's supposed to do. And I think he's done that this season.
Well, right. But
you want to see more.
I want more. I want to see more, because if you're on the top line, you should be getting about that, this many games in, you should be getting about 50, 60 points. He's not quite there yet. He's getting up there, but he needs to make more of his opportunities. I think that's right now. That's my only knock on him. Other than that, exactly like you said, he is rounding into future captain material. He is becoming a leader, very mature. He has stayed way the hell out of even range of getting into trouble, as opposed to previous years. So that's a hell of a good sign. Now, and also, like you said, yes, I have noticed where there were some games where he lost his cool when he should not have. And one or two of those situations, it might have taken his team out of the game. But overall, he's learned how to play the physical side and be a leader without going over that line. And as long as he stays consistent with that, I think his potential is going to grow. But again, if he's going to be if he's going to have a top line assignment, I want to see more on the score sheet. As far as actual goals and assists. So, but other, you know, but he is,
we can agree.
He is delivering. He is delivering consistently, you know,
yes,
but I think he's got a lot more in him. So especially if they put him on the power play, but that's a whole other story. So a solid B plus for me, for number 43.
Okay. Here's where I make it a little, pushback from you. I'm not really sure, but I've got the Tiger next.
Okay.
I gave a solid B plus.
All right.
And I felt like he's another one. I expect more. I wanted to see more. But then, God, when he pulls through, it's so fantastic that you're like, and there it is. But I just wanted more. I felt like we had maybe 90-95% of Eller. I wanted 100% of Eller. And I know how much he loves the Caps. And I've been looking at his, he's rewatching, you know, game five, a Stanley Cup, and he's tweeting. And it's so personal and heartfelt. And you can see that adrenaline that, you know, like all of us were seeing when we're watching it 2 years ago. It's like, oh my God. Yeah, I was like, they were doing that today at 3.
Yeah.
But you can see his passion and his respect for everything. And it's like, okay, but I didn't feel like I saw it so much this season. So far. I will put a so far in there. So I have him at a B+. I can't give him a solid A. And I wanted to, but I just couldn't because I felt like we're not getting the 100%.
Well, I'm actually going to be a bit harsher and say that he's a C plus for me. Like you said, when he's been crucial, I think he got one of the key goals, if memory serves, in the comeback against San Jose. I want to say he did. And let's see. He's as far as game winning goals. Okay. Well, he only has one. But you know, when the time is ripe for a comeback, he seems to be there. That seems to be his moment. But for me, he's been too invisible the rest of the time.
So I agree.
He needs to step it up 5-on-5. He needs to step it up when the game is not on the line, those in between moments where you're just mucking around and muddling through. He just kind of sort of tends to disappear. And we know that's not like him, and he's admitted it himself. So, not knocking his results, 16 goals, 23 assists. That's what a third liner should get you. So that's consistent with that, but it's more how he comes across is why I'm giving him something of a low grade. Not too terrible. If his consistency was a little bit more, I might be inclined to give him a B minus, but for the year, I can't give him higher than the C plus.
Okay. I respect that.
Okay. Who you got next?
Number 9.
Ah. You're not so
he
favorite.
Has an F. Just kidding. I hit that like B minus B plus with him. And I really had to step out of my comfort zone and say, okay, let's look at this player statistically. Let's look at him from the eyes of those who want to defend him, Robbie Gross. And you know, other things that maybe I'm missing because I'm like, ugh, just not a fan. I just feel like for his position and for being a Capitals player, I'm not seeing the results that I would really hope to see. I had really hoped that, but then I like look at his numbers and I'm like, okay, so 4 goals, that's fine. 23 assists and 27 points in, you know, what, 67 games, I think he played?
All 69, actually.
Oh, he played all of them?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe it was because I was hoping, like, there would be more of, like, I don't know. I honestly, with him, I honestly don't know what to say. So I'm sorry. Like, I feel like with him, I'm kind of B minus C plus. I think I would have to be persuaded either way.
So he kind of, okay. So he's kind of floating in that B range.
Yeah. I think, okay. You know what? Maybe this is what it is, because there were so many changes, on the D line. I was really kind of hoping that Carlson, Kempney, and Orloff, who have, you know, who have been there a couple of, you know, the last couple of years, would have stepped up more for the other players, and kind of, they would have been able to find a balance, or he would have been able to find a good partner. And I just don't think that he has found that. And so I don't know if I can blame him for that, or if I can blame the fact that the whole, you know, defensive unit is just kind of like, what the fuck?
Well, okay. So to serve as a counterpoint of sorts, you look at his numbers and you have to remember that for a large part of this year, he's been a bottom four pairing defenseman. He's not getting all the top minutes.
Right.
like a Carlson or a Kempney.
Right.
So if you look at that and look at his numbers in that mindset, then they're kind of sort of right where they should be, especially when you look at the number of blocked shots, 82, and that's third on the team. So that's kind of impressive to me. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think some of it is when he screws up, he really screws up. It is for all the world to see. It's like, you know, the porta potty falling apart and everybody sees you with your pants down. Bad is when he's that bad. But other than those moments, I would say he's probably one of the most consistent D-men they've got. And there's a reason he's played all 69 games. There's a reason they haven't shifted him out of the lineup, is because he gives you that consistent physical presence.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think, maybe that's just it. Maybe I just don't see it as consistent.
Well,
I think there are plenty of times that I've been like, what the fuck, Orloff? Like, and more so, like, where are you supposed to be? Why are you doing, you know, kind of
right,
thing.
Right,
but
right.
Maybe it's just his inconsistencies.
And we call
rather
him
than the stats.
And we call him damn it Orlov because he does stupid things like that. And it's you know, it's glaring mistakes, but they're also very few and very far between. This year.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I don't think he's hurt them too bad. I mean, numbers are, no, they're not that great, but 82 block shots, third on the team. That's nothing to sneeze at. And he's, you know, he's pretty consistent 5-on-5. So I am actually going to give him an A minus.
Okay.
So.
All right.
What do you got next?
Hags.
Carl Hagelin. Okay.
I give him a solid B.
Okay.
8 goals, 17 assists, 25 points. Do I want to see more, like higher numbers? 100%. Is the potential there? 100%. Do I like him? Yeah, I do. Is he one of my favorites? No. But I do think the potential's there. I do think that he is going to, he doesn't have to redeem himself. I would never say that. But I feel like we haven't seen Carl Hagelin at like his absolute best. I think it's there. I think we're going to see it. And I think, you know, so I have a solid B for him right now. I want to see more.
All right. Well, I will slightly disagree. I will actually score him higher. I will give him a B plus. And I'll tell you why. Because when they signed him, they didn't, and I kind of momentarily forgot this, but when they signed him, they didn't sign him to put points on the board. And I think everybody kind of forgot that. They signed him as a counter to,
right,
to other teams' offensive threats, because he's better away from the puck than he is with the puck. And he's like that bee buzzing around you that won't go away. He'll keep hounding you. And that there have been games where he has consistently and single-handedly saved a key penalty kill all by his lone
team, yes,
with his play. And it's that kind of a thing that has saved games and been crucial. And so I think if everybody remembers that, and I mean, his numbers aren't horrible. I mean, he's been in 58 games. He did struggle with injuries. Roughly.
Well, that's what I mean. It's roughly, I just don't think that we've seen 100% from him.
Right. And that could very well be, but he's roughly, you know, slightly below a point every other game as far as offensive producing. That's not horrible, but that's also not why they got him. I'm definitely going to give him a B plus on the strength of his defensive game, especially on the penalty kill. So that's where I'm with him. Okay. Who you got next?
Konek.
Richard Konek.
I really thought I was going to go on the lower end of things and be like, not impressed. But I will say that Konek absolutely kind of made me eat my words. The last 2, 3, 4 weeks that we saw him play. And that was unfortunately what we were not seeing in the beginning of the season, where it was like, okay, I've got high hopes for this guy. I think he's got what it takes. I think he's got the skill. And then it was like a flat line, you know, like we were like stupid errors, stupid shit that, and we were just like, what is going on? And then all of a sudden something clicked, like something just changed with Panic, and his game was tighter, his focus was better. And he was just on it. So I will say, because of the crappy beginning and kind of, you know, that, and there was probably a lot of negativity that he was picking up social media wise that maybe just kind of got in his head in the beginning, I have given him a B minor, in hopes that it's going to gradually and very quickly go up when he plays again, because I feel like he was really on a roll, and I don't want to see him like another Barakowski, where it's like, okay, we have a bad game, and then it's like negative headspace for like the next chunk of games, and then when we're good, we're really good. I want to see him be able to play at the skill level that he is and not second guess himself. And I feel like he's kind of that second guess kind of player. So B minus. I'm still impressed. I'm still pulling for him. But I know he had a rough beginning.
That's fair. In fact, I actually scored him slightly higher, but I'll say also down the line with your opinion, had this had stopped, with the first half of the season, he'd have gotten a D minus from me. But he's picked it up, and he's probably been, or was at the time of the stoppage, probably one of the most consistent players on the team.
Exactly.
As far as effort, and his defense is always there. It's just, we weren't getting the results. And so I think that that's the main knock on him. Won't hurt you as far as unnecessary penalties. You know, I think his numbers would be higher. I think he'd be more around, say, like a Lars Eller, a point every other game pace, had he not struggled in the beginning. But yeah, I think once he gets used to things, I think next year, whatever and however that turns out, I think you'll see more out of him.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so agree. Who's next?
Number six.
Ah, Michael Kempney. Okay.
Michael Kempney. I'm giving a solid B to my number six. And I am, because that horrific injury that he went through really could have fucked with his head and his game. I mean, that's, you and I have talked about it, and it's like, it's just like, ugh. I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah.
But how he came back and what he put himself through to get there, training and you know, physical therapy and everything, was to be admired. But when he came back, I didn't feel like there is a slight hesitation with him, which is understandable because it's human. But I don't know. I felt like I'm giving him the solid B because maybe there was a little bit of a hesitation. And then there was a couple of things, a couple of those games there towards the end that I'm going to chalk up to pure frustration on the defensive end, where he just kind of lost his shit and he just had sloppy plays. And then he had to sit out a game. And then he was, you know, in the penalty box. A penalty box where it's just like, you know, that's just not Michael Kempney. That's just not, you know, how we know him. So I feel like the frustration kind of got the best of him. Hence the B and not the B plus. Do I think he's a fantastic player? And I really hope he stays with the Capitals 100%.
Fair enough. And yeah, so I will say that, I'm going to actually give him, a B minus, which I'm kind of surprised at myself for, because I thought going into the pause that he was actually tailing off. But if you look at what he's produced on paper, you just might be surprised. For example, he actually leads the team in plus minus. Now, you can partially say that he's a benefactor of being on the pairing with Carlson, and that's
right. Part
of it. But you can also say that, you know, he's putting himself in the right position not to get scored on, or at least he was when he first came back. But I think unfortunately the 10 or 15 games before the pause kind of showed that his leg wasn't quite up to the full grind yet. And so I think he's one of the very few players that may just well benefit from this time off.
I was
pleasantly surprised at those numbers. I am a little disappointed in those last dozen or so games of play, because it was kind of obvious that he was slowing down and tailing off. So I will actually give him a B minus. But overall, I don't think he's been that bad. He's had bad stretches. I don't think he's been that bad, but had the season gone on, I think unfortunately he would have been a candidate to be benched. So like I said, I think this pause came at a something of an opportune time for him.
Yeah.
He was trending down. So
he was, which I think is a thing that we haven't seen a Michael Kempney in a negative headspace, like where it's like, so many consistent games where you're like, what is going on with him? But there was definitely a frustration level with him in those last, the last 10 or 12 games, things that we saw with him that I was like, that's not like him.
Right.
You know, so maybe like this break, getting away, giving his leg, you know, yeah. a little bit of time to heal, and a little physical therapy, I think would be a good thing. But I am now ready to move on to Hathaway.
Okay. One of my favorites.
Who he is. He is definitely one of your favorites and one of mine also. However, I couldn't give him an A minus because of his energy and everything else. I gave him a solid B plus, and not because of his numbers so much. I mean, but because of that chemistry that was made, you know, between him and Dowd, whether it was Leipzig or Boyd, whomever it was, that third line was just fantastic. And I feel like he had a big part in that. His energy is fantastic. The only con I have in the Garnet Hathaway column is 79 only minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Too much. And a lot of it, like, you could see it with some, you almost wanted to say, like, oh, like, he's like a young Tommy. But he's just like, age-wise, you can't really say that. But he has hot head mentality. Is he the guy that you want out there to protect you and he's got your back? 100%. But is he calling stupid penalties? Yeah, when we're looking at numbers like 79 PIM, too many.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to be right down the line with you on that. That's I was actually going to call him out for that as well, because a third slash fourth liner should not be getting that many penalty minutes. I understand he's responding in kind to stupid crap, and there has been mm-hmm. a lot of that. And I love him for standing up, but sometimes, you know, as we saw. Especially in a certain couple of games, he goes over the line and he kind of forgets not to do that. You know, and like I said, he's a third and fourth liner, so you don't expect the numbers to be there, and frankly, they're not. But yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more discipline from him overall, and maybe a little bit more as far as the offense. So I'm going to give him a solid C plus. A for effort, little less yeah. for result, but C plus, unfortunately. Because I want to see his penalty minutes. I want to see his PIMs come down. We'll see his offense go up and we'll see.
Okay.
All right. So, who's next?
Speaking of which, his podcast partner is Dowd.
Okay. Is he next?
Yes.
Okay.
I have Dowd, with a solid B. And I don't know why that was the first thing that came to mind, but I feel like we are seeing a ton of potential in Nick Dowd. I feel like the chemistry in that third line is fantastic. I feel like he is giving the team 100%. But for some reason, there's something missing for me that I can't bump him up a little bit higher.
So, okay. What was the grade you gave him?
I gave him a B.
Okay. I'll give him a B minus. I'll agree with you. He's kind of been the Caps' unsung hero for a good chunk of the year. Hasn't played in all 69 games. I think he's a key element in making that third line go. And the third line has been at times probably one of the best. The best on the team most nights. And he's not there. He's kind of like Haglund. He's not there so much to put points on the board as to prevent them. I think it's just his style of play. He's not all that flashy, but he definitely gets the job done. And so,
but don't you feel like there's like, he's one that I'm not giving up on.
No.
I feel like
heck no.
Like, he's going to be solid and he's just going to get better.
Yeah, he's going to be, he's okay. probably going to be, if he's put in the right situation, he's probably going to be a solid, consistent 20-goal scorer someday.
Yeah.
If given the chance.
I agree.
But I agree. The problem is time's starting to run out for him because he's actually 29 years old.
Yeah.
So if that's going to happen, it better happen soon. But I think actually he's pretty pretty good fit for this role. So I think he's good where he's at now. But yeah, solid B minus for me. Okay. All right. So who's next?
Gudas.
Radko.
This is my first C so okay. far on this list.
All right. Why?
And I will say because, you know, at first when you hear that a player is coming from a team that you can't stand and you already have a negative opinion, it's like, okay, boo, this sucks. Why is he coming? I don't want him here. And then it's like, okay, let's get to know the person outside of that team's jersey. He's now a Capital, and let's see what he can do for our team. And I really had high expectations for Gudas to come out. And I felt like there were certain games he came out strong, he protected, he defended, he did what he was supposed to do. And it was like, okay, this is exactly what we needed. And then it just fell apart. And I don't know what happened, but I just, just disappointed. I guess I expected more. So he is one of two players that I'm giving a C to. And I think it's just a lack of consistency.
Yeah, I for my part, I don't know. I don't even know. Well, I think consistency plays a part of it, but I'm going to give him a C minus. I think he started off really well, but he's tailed off and tailed off badly, yeah. very badly, yeah. to the point where he had to be benched. To the point where a lot of people, a lot of fans are questioning whether or not he even has a long-term future with this team. And he may not. I don't think he's a good fit. He's not really all that good a fit on the top six. So yeah, I don't see him lasting. And I kind of wish we didn't have to make that trade. I mean, he's not a terrible player, but he's just not quite equal value to what we gave up to get him. So right. I'm sorry.
I think, like, you know, when you're gonna be traded. And you're to come into a new situation, and you want to, like, show your skill set. You want to show your passion. You want to show your aggressiveness, your competitiveness, and whatnot. And we're still seeing that from him. Unfortunately, I think a lot of us maybe had higher expectations. I did, and it just didn't quite pan out. So. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so who do you have next?
All right, so this is my next C, kind of C minus, is Leipzig.
Okay, go ahead.
And the reasons for, because I felt like he was one that came out strong. He's quick as hell. He's a competitor. Sorry. Sorry about that. He's a competitor. He obviously is, you know, compassionate about the sport. However, started off strong, loved to see him on the ice, loved to see the minutes he was giving. And then all of a sudden it just stopped and everything just went downhill. And you have 3 goals. Okay. You have 8 assists. 11 points. It just wasn't impressive. I felt like he was, like, if anything, he was going to be that young player that was going to come out and just really, you know, show everybody, like, hell yeah, this is what I've got. This is what I'm, you know, like 100%, all that Capital. And I just didn't see it. Like, it started off great. And then it didn't even teeter. It just stopped. And that sucked. And then, but go ahead, because then because my next person kind of builds into the Leipzig story.
Yeah. I'll just give it away now. This one got my worst grade. I gave him a D plus. Because beyond the first 15 games, he's shown me nothing. He's invisible when he is out there, and there's a reason he's getting less and less ice time. He started out really well. We keep saying this. You know, the first 15, 20, 30 games, he was playing very well, and then he tailed off. And I think it was Ed Frankovic who said, at best, this guy is an AHLer and doesn't belong on NHL roster. And so, unfortunately, yeah, right now as it is, he's taking up space. And I really think some of you out there might be scratching your heads by hearing me say this, but I kind of wish we had Chandler Stephenson back. But we don't, and that's the reality of things. Because I think he had more upside to his game, and Brendan Leipzig just doesn't. And that's
no.
He doesn't add anything at all.
Right, and I had him down for playing 61 games because I felt like it was the last 8 weeks we did not see him in the lineup. Is that correct?
I think it was something like that. Yeah.
Okay, so if you consider his statistics of in 61 games, 3 goals, 8 assists, 11 points. Then we move on to our next player, Travis Boyd. You have him at, say, 24 games, which is a lot less. He has 3 goals, 7 assists, and 10 points.
What? Right.
And it's
the problem. Let me jump in here real quick. The problem between those two guys, you can't really compare them, though they would be on the same line. But you can't trade one for the other because Boyd is a center where Leipzig
That's
is a winger.
True.
So unfortunately, they're not quite, I get where you're going with that, but they're not quite as interchangeable as you'd think.
Yeah. All right. Just scratch that.
You were making a solid point though. And so since you were about to rate Boyd, go ahead.
Oh, I gave Boyd a solid B. And I did because of the times that he did play, I felt like we got Travis Boyd, you know, focused Capitals player, given it his all. I think he did, you know, the minutes that he was on the ice, I feel like he gave 95 to 100%. I was impressed. I like the kid. I do. Oh, well, he's not a kid, but I will say he's a kid. I don't know. I feel like there's something. Yeah, I was really pulling for him more so. I found myself really just disappointed in Leipzig and not pulling for him as much. I really want like Travis Boyd. I'm like, I really love to see his name more consistently on the roster. I don't know if it'll happen, but.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I will also give him a solid B. I wish there was a way he could find a way to crack the lineup more consistently. I think maybe the knock on him is he's a little off as far as his foot speed. I think that might be what's keeping him out of the lineup consistently. But you got to say, when he is out there, he does make things happen. And there are nights where they could use a little more of that. So, yeah, I would like to see him get more of a chance. I just don't know if that's going to happen. And long term, I think he might actually be, if he's, I don't know what his contract status is beyond this year, but if he's signed past next year, I think he's going to be one of the guys that are picked off the roster in the expansion draft. So I can see that as a possibility. I like him a lot. Solid B. I want to see more, but I guess he's got to do a little bit more to get there. And that's, I don't know. up in the air right now. Okay. Yeah. So who did you have after him?
Siegenthaler.
Ah, yes.
So you can go ahead.
Jonas.
You can input your Price is Right Avalanche game. Or incline game or whatever the hell it's called.
Cliffhangers.
Oh, there. Oh, hey. I was kidding. I don't think you knew the name, but okay. I want to see more. I do. C-.
C-. Ouch.
And I hate that. I don't know. Well, on paper, I write a B. And then I was like, do I think it's a B-? So I'm like, B-. I feel like when he is on the ice consistently, not just like, oh, hey, you're going to play Monday. You're not going to play Wednesday or Friday or Saturday, but then we're going to play next Monday. It's not as impressive, but when you see him consistently playing, I feel like, again, here is a kid that has the passion, the skill, the compassion, whatever you want to call it, the competitiveness to give it his all, and he does. And I want to give it higher, but I haven't seen enough of him. I don't know. Maybe he's just one of those that I haven't paid enough attention to, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, and that, unfortunately, yeah, he does kind of fall into that category where when he's good, you don't notice him.
Right.
And when he's bad, well, you do notice him. Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to have to give him a C-, and I'm going to back that up with a pretty damning statistic.
This is why I'm terrible at this.
out of all of the, well, we're at the same grade just for different reasons. Out of all of the defensemen, let me just go through and make sure. Minus Tyler Lewington, who only played six games. And Christian Juice, who only played two games before he was traded. Other than those two guys, Siegenthaler has the lowest average time on ice for a Capitals defenseman this season. Lower than a full minute lower than even Radko Gudas.
Don't you want to take an optimistic point of view and say, if he was given the opportunity to play more,
well, here's the
would
thing.
We see more from him?
I don't know.
I
don't know, because you never know what you're going to get with him. You know, sometimes he makes that bad pass. Sometimes he, you know, loses his footing. Sometimes he, you know, doesn't get that stride and catch up with the rush in time. You know, and then sometimes he puts himself in the right place in the right time. So, yeah. You know, when he's on his game, he does all the little things a bottom four defenseman should do. And that's handle the puck consistently and, you know, not get caught out of position. But he's still doing some of those things wrong. And, you know,
I know. Sorry, I cut you off.
It's a chicken and the egg thing. He gets less ice time because he makes mistakes, and he makes mistakes because he gets less ice time, and back and forth we go. So he has a future with the team, but he's got to start showing some improvement. You've got some guys in the pipeline coming up that could be taking his job. You know, I'm looking at Alexeyev, Luke Johansson, maybe one of those guys, Martin Favari, acquitted himself very well this year. So some, you know, guys like that, maybe. So I think when all is said and done, unless Siegenthaler shows some improvement, he might end up being that odd man out.
Yeah.
So that's long term, but this year, you know, He's been okay, but as we all know with AT&T, yeah, just okay is not okay.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So
I think
I've got three more players if you want to.
Yeah.
I don't know what the time frame is.
Well, we're running pretty long, but we might as well finish it out.
All right. I'll make it quick, especially on these last three. Next one I have is Jensen, who I, in the beginning, again, like a panic, had high hopes for, didn't see it, kind of teetered back and forth. And then I started to see a more consistent play with him and a more consistent, determination. Something changed with him. So I wound up giving Jensen a B minus. Because I felt like he was scoring points with me towards the end. Definitely not how I felt about him in more so in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I will pretty much agree. A tale of two seasons with Jensen. Kind of like a Richard Ponick, actually. Last 20 games, he's come on fairly strong. I was really impressed with him. That latest win against Pittsburgh, he was feeling it. He was physical. He was on point. He was energetic. And I think that's carried him all the way up to now. But oh my goodness, the first 45 games or so,
right.
He was making the highlight reel for all the wrong reasons. And he was right. Everybody's favorite whipping boy. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. And I think a lot of that was because he was not utilized. He wasn't the right puzzle piece for certain situations. You get him away from the boards and in open space, he's fine. Along the boards, not so much.
Totally not so much.
He's not built for that kind of play. So when there's a nice flow to the game, he's fine. But yeah, I don't know. They need to find a way to utilize him a little bit better. But I think he's also improving. So my grade for him, I will say C+. Just because he was just that bad in the beginning. But I will acknowledge and improve a little more, comfort zone for him. But overall, C+ for this season.
All righty. Kovacek. And I know we said, how are we going to do this with, where they're at right now. I gave him a solid B because we had seven games. We had one goal, three assists, 4 points. The fact that there are numbers on there in seven games is awesome. I think that he has a presence about him, a history about him, whatever you want to call it. That's going to benefit the Caps. But unfortunately, I haven't seen enough of him consistently to say, beyond seven games that, he's in the A range. So.
True. And yep, I will give him a B minus, and like you said, he's probably a very stabilizing veteran presence. If there is to be a playoffs, he's one of those guys where you want to win a cup for them, so he'll provide that kind of energy as well. And yeah, we just don't know if the scoring touch is still there from earlier in the season, and I don't know. This could be a bad thing, but this could be a good thing as well, this long extended break. So too many unknowns for me. I can't give him a full grade. If I were, it would be more like a B minus. I'm going to have to give him an incomplete.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, I understand. And my last one is Dylan. Came out, from the Sharks. I do feel like what I'm impressed with him is that the kind of chemistry he has amongst his teammates, that's always a fantastic way to start off, having to trade teams. I like his energy. I like his play. I think there's a shit ton of potential with Dylan. Haven't seen enough of it. So I'm still in the solid B range with him. I want to see more because I know there's potential. I also know, I might be a B minus because of the penalty minutes.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dylan, let's see. He is, okay, so he actually, with me, played the minimum 10 games. No points, minus two, 21 PIMs. Love the way he stood up with his team. I think he's a pretty good fit. I think long-term, he's going to be the solution. Let's see. He's 29, so I don't know if he's going to be a long-term solution. I think he was starting to hit his stride when the COVID-19 pause came into effect. I'm like you. I want to see more. I do like what I've seen so far out of him. So I am willing to give him a B for the moment.
All right. Now, do we want to, or do we want to save it for next time, do goalies?
The goalies. That depends. How quickly do you think you can get through them?
I'm fine. Like, I don't have a whole lot to go off of. I almost feel, ironically, I almost feel like I'm giving them the same grade, which seems really weird.
Let's kind of do them both together.
You go first.
Okay. all right. I will give Braden Holtby for the year a C+. And a lot of you out there are going to kill me for that, but I mean, also, if you look in the mirror and look at the tape and watch him play, you all have to admit he has not been anywhere near the Braden Holtby that he has been in the big games, in when he's at the top of his game. Now, yes, I've also mentioned that he's been hung out to dry a lot, but I mean, look at some of the goals where he just hasn't been all that consistent. And you will see that his positioning has been off. You know, his stick play has been off. Now just compare the save to the amount of goals, the insert goal here that you want to, you know, watch a replay on, and you'll see what I mean. But no, it hasn't been all him. And yes, he's in a contract year, which is distracting, but you know, a superstar does not make excuses. So we all know he can be better. And there's no way in my mind I can give him anything above a C+, because he just has not been what he, you know, has been in the past and what they've needed him to be. Ilya Samsonov, I will give him a B-. He is another one of these guys that started off the year. They were even talking about Calder Trophy candidacy, had that 10-game streak, but not unlike the rest of the team, kind of tailed off. And then the more games he got into, the more he started withering a little bit under the pressure. So is he ready for full-time number one starter's duty? No, he is not. Not just yet. So that's why I say, ideally, if they sign Holtby to maybe a one-year hometown discount deal, that would be the ideal. Get Samsonov ready for maybe another year's worth of 1A duty. But, I mean, right now, that's my knock on him, is that he just does not quite have – he doesn't have that book on all the shooters yet, doesn't have the chemistry with the team yet, doesn't have – the consistency is yet that a number one should have. So if that's the goal, and not to leave him as the backup, then he just needs more time. Now, what we have seen of him, great play, makes the key save at time, but he's also looked bad when he's had to come up big at times. And that's, I think part of that is experience. The other part's maturity. So can't give him any higher than a B-, but I have liked a lot out of him, and he has great potential.
All right. Well, shockingly, I think I may agree with you. I am giving both goalies a B-. I feel like we'll start with Sammy first. Wow. Did he impress the shit out of all of us in the beginning? Yes. Was it consistent? Unfortunately, no. And that is, like you said, it's going to come with maturity. It's going to come with chemistry with the team, hopefully getting that defensive line into a cohesive unit to say, okay, I know these guys have got my back and I'm going to give it 100%. Is he competitive? Yes. Do I love his drive? Absolutely. I think this kid is like, you know, like this is what he wants to do. And I like that Brana determination. I see it in Sammy. I know he'll be fantastic. So I'm still going to give that B minus because, like, I agree. There were some times that I was like, he probably should have had that. maybe he's not quite ready to play, you know, certain teams, but that's not how it is in the NHL. You've got to be ready to play teams that have a terrible record, and you have to be ready to play teams that just won the Stanley Cup. So, you know, I think maturity will come. I love the one-year, you know, Holtby contract. I think that would be fantastic for both of them. Holtby, I'm also going to give B-minus two. Do I respect him and love him as a player? Oh, God, yes. Did he have a slower reaction time? Yeah, but is it fair to compare him to who he was 2 years ago in the Stanley Cup Finals? No. You know, it's like, come on, like that position is brutal on your joints. It's like, I believe that mentally, you know, he's there, and but that's just a hardcore thing. So I respect Braden Holtby. I don't want to see him traded. I understand, you know, totally, of course, for not asking my opinion. But I am going to give B minus because I do think there were certain games that we didn't see Holtby at given 100%. And I'm always going to stick with 100% because I feel like, you know, certain players just like, yeah, you want to see more of that 90 to 100% range rather than, you know, the lower end. That makes sense.
Yep, it does. It does. And that's all fair. I'll slightly disagree with the grades, but yeah, that's no other than that. Yeah, I think that's pretty much where we're at in the goalies.
Okay.
All right. So thus endeth the grading. Well done, Miss Teacher.
Sorry, it went so long.
No, I'm not going to apologize for running long because I mean, we're, you know, everybody's got to have, you know, some way to kill the time. So I'm figuring we are giving you loyal listeners more bang for the buck. Of course, none of you are paying for any of this. So
there's just more bang.
Yeah. A lot of banging going on. Yep. All right. So, This is as good a place as any to wrap it up. Next week, in the works, of course, by the time you listen to this, I'll have made the announcement on the Facebook page, but next week we are going to reopen the phone lines again, to all of you fellow COVID-19 shut-ins, fellow Caps fans, anyone who wants to call in, we'd love to have you on just as we did about a month or so ago. Have a nice one on the lines party, as it were, big conversation. Like to hear some new voices, but like to hear some of the ones we've had on as well. Kind of check in, see how just tell us how you're doing, how you're coping, and you know what life has been like for you, and what do you see going on as far as some sort of return to normalcy in the coming months, hopefully. Yeah, overall, we just like to hear how you're doing because, you know, we just want to know. We care. So
we do care.
We care very much. So damn us for that. okay, so if there's nothing else, we're just going to go ahead and wrap it up here for the evening.
Yep.
For the Mermaid, Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that Finland has just closed their borders. So because of that, no one will be crossing the Finnish line.
Oh. Go Caps.
You didn't wait for it.
I know. Go ahead.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast.